Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 26. This is our fifth sermon on Philippians as we're going through Philippians. Starting with verse 19, it says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness and always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, and that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by coming to you again." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning, we thank you again for your precious word that is a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. Lord, we're thankful that it is good to admonish us, God, to give us direction, Lord, to speak to us, Lord. And we ask this morning and this message, God, that you would speak to our hearts and to our lives. To you be the praise and the glory. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. You know, in Acts 17, if you Paul preached a great sermon about the unknown God on Mars Hill in Athens, if you remember that story. And at one point in that message, as he is preaching to the unknown God, he made this statement, and we find that he said this: "In him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have our being." We find him repeating the same thought in his letter to Colossians in chapter 1, verse 17, "And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." Talking about Christ Jesus, that all things consist in him and all things are part of him. Did you know that Paul actually lives his life with this conviction in his heart? If you study the life of Paul, you'll find that he lives this life, his life, he lived his life with that conviction that all things came about through Christ Jesus. He believed that everything, every move he'd make, Christ would be there. And he lived his life in such a way. It regulated how he lived, his relationship with Jesus Christ. It cost him dearly, but he was willing to pay the price. It also gave him a unique perspective on life. When you start to think about, what am I going to do? How is that going to affect my relationship with Christ? If we do this, what's that going to do with my relationship with Christ? Everything Paul did, he had the mindset of what it would be with Christ Jesus. He believed that God took him places, showed him things, and all this stuff. Everything that he did, he believed in what Jesus was working through his life. Do you have that kind of faith this morning? The believing that Jesus is actually directing your life, actually giving you insight in different things. Well, Paul lived that way. In our passage this morning, we find how Paul would gain strength to endeavor through any circumstance because of what his perspective of life was about. So I want to share some of that this morning. And no, I'm not preaching to 12:45. So y'all can relax just for a moment. The first thing I want you to look at, three things that that helped him. How did this help him? Because you know the circumstances. I said it when I started this series. I heard Pastor Oliver say it again last week. You know, we all know that Paul's in prison. Things are not all that great in his life. So how is he getting through this thing? So let's look and see if we can glean, because all of us go through difficult times in our lives. We may not be in jail. We may not be in prison. But there's things that happen in our life. How can we flourish like Paul did, even being in prison like Paul was? Three things in verse 19 that I want you to look at. The first thing that he did, he stayed true to the cause. He stayed true to the cause. Promoting Christ no matter what was taking place in his life. Remember, we said, you know, every move I make, no matter what happened in Paul's life, he stayed true to the cause, and that was promoting Christ. Paul's cause didn't, even though his environment had changed, his cause, the cause was still the same for him, even though he was in a different location and a different area that he normally would have been. Listen, think about when he was thrown in jail at Philippi. A whole family got saved because he stuck to the cause. When he was thrown in prison, Pastor Oliver preached last week, many got saved. Are you getting a little picture of what Paul did, regardless if he was free or if he was bound? He still stuck to the cause in his life. And that cause was to preach Jesus. That cause was to serve the Lord. You know, sometimes, many times, when we have difficult things come into our life, sometimes we shuck off those things or shuck off the cause. But the cause never changes. In the location that we're in, is still to share Jesus. You may be going through a difficult time today, but let me encourage you, stick to the cause. I've seen people be put in nursing homes, and they'd be bitter about it, and I've seen other people think, well, what an evangelistic field, or a mission field. Look what Jesus did to me. They're going to have to put up with me because I can outrun them. But they stuck to the cause. You know who was the happiest in the place? Those that stick to the cause. Listen, we got to learn that in life. No matter what we're going through, the cause does not change. Paul learned that. And that was sharing Jesus. See, he said this would be his deliverance. He quoted Job chapter 3:16 in that passage that we just read, which says, he also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite could not come before him. Paul quoted that verse. His deliverance is he's going to stay to the cause. He's not really talking about getting out of jail. His deliverance is sticking to Jesus and the cause of that very thing. His deliverance. See, deliverance is actually used in terms of salvation. The opposition of his enemies will stir him up even to a greater activity to share Jesus Christ. The more you tell me to be quiet. Listen, have you ever had a kid like that? You ever had a kid that says, sit down, and they just keep on going? Paul says this to the cause. He says, the more you oppose me, the more I'm going to preach it. The more you lock me up, the more I'm going to shout it. Paul stuck to the cause. And he said, this is going to bring deliverance into my life. It would lead even to a deeper salvation for him and also deliverance. The next thing that we find, he coveted the prayers of others. He coveted the prayers of others. It's an interesting thing. He told them in that passage of Scripture, for my deliverance through your prayer. Your prayer. Have you ever felt like you was praying and nothing was happening? How many of you have ever just prayed and prayed, God, give me this answer? I've been praying this certain prayer for a long time, and I remind God every morning. I say, God, you know, this is not my first time. This is not my second time. But I've been praying for quite some time. Some prayers. How many of you got some prayers you're praying for a long time, and you're just waiting for God to answer them? Hey, I want to encourage you. Don't give up. God is all about timing, and he'll bring it around to you, and be encouraged. But Paul said this much. Here he is in prison, and he says, I'm just going to keep on preaching the gospel. I'm going to stick to the cause. But you know what's helping me stick to the cause? Is your prayers. He says, the prayers that you're praying, church at Philippi, the prayers that you're praying for me, they're helping me stick to the cause of sharing Jesus Christ. Jesus told Peter not to worry about it. When he was fixed to be tested by the devil, the devil said, I'm going to sift you, or he's wanting to sift Peter. Jesus said, don't worry about it. Why? Because I have prayed for you. How many wish Jesus would pray for you? I can tell you he did it in John 17. I pray not only for those that have believed because they see, but those that have not seen but will believe. He's prayed for all of us. We are told to pray for one another. The story is told of a young girl who said, Lord, I'm not going to pray for myself today. I'm going to pray for others. But at the end of her prayer, she added, "And give my mother a handsome son-in-law." We can't pray without praying for ourselves. But the Bible tells us we are to pray for those that are sick. You know, the missionaries, we have missionaries come in and they ask us to mainly pray for them. And in our minds, we're thinking, no, all you want is our monthly support. But can I tell you, they truly are cherishing the prayers that they're asking for, because the Bible tells us to pray for one another. What was sustaining Paul? His prayers, those prayers from other people that were praying for him while he was in prison. He says, through them, I feel the Holy Spirit. Paul asked for prayers from the Galatians, for an open door to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? Pride keeps us from asking for prayer. When we decide that we need prayer from others, then we're going to have a blessing into our life. And praying for people. I got a text just last Friday from a pastor in our district, way in another section, says, "Hey, you're on my heart. I'm praying for you today." I texted him back and I said, "Boy, I need it." I was thrilled that God put my name upon someone else to be praying for me. And used to, Nadine says, "I'm praying for you." I see Sandy Stewart and she says, "I've been praying for you." I'm going to tell you, prayers from others is something that we should covet just like Paul did. Because prayers make a difference in our life. Aren't you glad somebody was praying for you to be saved? Prayer is an amazing thing. See, prayer pulls the rope. Spurgeon says this, prayer pulls the rope down below and the great bells ring above in the ears of God. Some scarcely stir the bell for they pray so unenergetically. Others give only an occasion jerk at the rope. But he who communicates with heaven is the man who grabs the ropes boldly and pulls continuously with all his might. Spurgeon, that great preacher, knew the need of prayer. And I'll guarantee you, he says, "Pray for me as I preach." What helped Paul? Prayers of others. Who are you praying for today? Who are you lifting up each and every day? Another thing that we find, he knew the benefits of the Spirit. Come on, it's time the church wakes up to the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Spirit. We don't need religion. We need relationship. We need somebody to understand that the Holy Spirit is how we get the energy to go forward. The Holy Spirit is how people get saved. It's not my message, but it's the Holy Spirit that convicts a heart. Paul knew the benefits of the Spirit. Listen to what he says in that. He says, and the supply, where? The supply, if you can just see him in the prison room, the supply of the Spirit coming down upon him in the midst of his problems, in the midst of his struggles, the Holy Ghost is coming down upon him and giving him strength day in and day out to live his life for God. He understood the benefits of the Spirit. And sometimes we say, don't talk in tongues over here. Don't give a message. Let's not talk about the Holy Spirit. And let's not call him the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something today. The Holy Spirit is very needed in the church today. We need his ministry. Without his ministry, not one of us would be saved. And without his ministry, not one of us would be sealed for the glory of God. His Spirit is what makes us different. Listen, the Bible says the Holy Ghost is sent for our benefit. Our benefit. Paul knew this in prison. He says, I'm getting that. When it says that the Spirit of Christ, that in verse 19, he's talking about the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, that third member of the Trinity. We know that the Holy Spirit empowers us. The benefits of the Spirit. I couldn't preach without the Holy Spirit. And I don't got time to go into such a story. But let me tell you, he leads us. Are you needing guidance? He leads you. He will direct you. Are you going through a tough time? He comforts you. Come on, are you needing to understand the Word of God a little more? He teaches you. Come on, who we're talking about? We're talking about the Holy Spirit from heaven. Hallelujah. You need some direction. You need something. You need to understand something. He counsels you. The Holy Spirit brings counsel. And do you need freedom from something? Come on. Used to, everybody thought, hey, I'm addicted to this. I'm addicted to that. I need to get that out of my life before I get filled with the Holy Spirit. I need to get it out of my life before I get saved. Can I tell you something this morning? The Holy Spirit delivers you from that stuff. Just get on in and watch what happens. He gives you the power to get free of such things in your life. He delivers. He delivers us from all kinds of things. It's amazing. I got to hear four testimonies Saturday night. Yes, I went to church on Saturday night on my vacation and church on Sunday morning. Saturday night was a testimony service of four remarkable deliveries that God had done in a person's life. And if you would have heard the story in their lives, you'd think, how could God heal such a thing? Amazed me. I mean, we need to hear that every now and then. He delivers. He helps us bear fruit. Come on, he helps you love that person you don't like. Hallelujah. Y'all just thought about somebody. He intercedes for us. When we don't know how to pray, we don't know what to say for ourselves, he intercedes for us and prays a prayer for you and me. He gives assurance in those times of need. Have you ever had someone come up and say, hey, it's going to be okay? Can I tell you, when the Holy Spirit comes around and says, hey, it's going to be all right, listen to him. Because he gives an assurance that he's able to do something with. He assures us. He brings great joy into our lives. I could preach all day long on what the Holy Spirit does in our life. He brings great joy into our life. Have you ever seen anybody get the Holy Ghost come up on them and they just start laughing, dancing, jumping, running around? And we think, well, did you see what they look like? Hey, they were in the joy of the Holy Spirit. Come on, he brings joy. Have you ever just been riding the car and all of a sudden a thought comes that God puts in your mind and you just start grinning? One of the things that got me in trouble in life is my smirk I have. It's natural. I mean, I'm not smirking. When you think I'm smirking, it's just something that's natural on my face. And many people say, I'm going to wipe that off. But let me tell you, there's been moments in my truck, moments in time, I think, and the Holy Spirit brings something to my attention, and I just start praising God and rejoicing. Maybe I hear something on the radio, and the Holy Spirit just connects with me, and I think, praise God. He brings joy into our life. He brings joy. Can I tell you this morning, just as much as Paul was leaning on the Holy Spirit for help, we need the Holy Ghost. Come on, we need the Holy Spirit. If you haven't been filled in the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues, you need to be baptized. But we need the Holy Ghost more. Right now, I'm going to tell you, I know a lot of people are feeling relaxed after the election, but can I tell you something? Donald Trump's not going to change this nation. Only Jesus Christ is. The Holy Spirit moving in the church in revival will change this nation. And it starts at the house of God. The Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. The next thing that we find in verse 20 is the shame game was avoided. The shame game was avoided. Now, I had a different subtitle there, and I Google it. Sometimes I had to Google what I put down. I thought, I better not use that. Because I had a whole different thought. So I had to change it, reword it. But in verse 20, Paul says this. He says, listen, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness and as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or death. Paul was in prison being charged with a capital crime, which carried with it penalty of death if he was convicted or found guilty. There was a very difficult moment. You know, the one hope of most prisoners would be released from prison or else to have death penalty reduced to a lesser punishment. But Paul knows what his punishment might be if he's convicted. But Paul was more concerned, listen, in keeping a Christ-like attitude and a Christ-like walk. Where? In prison. A Christ-like attitude and a Christ-like walk in the most difficult time of his life, one of those difficult times, he was more concerned about that than getting out of those four walls that he was imprisoned in or getting free. He was more concerned that he served Jesus well. More concerned with that. The Greek word for earnest expectation, which also occurs in Romans 1:19 when it's talking about all creation is waiting with earnest expectation for the sons of God to be revealed, means literally a watching and an outstretched head. When Paul uses this word, earnest expectation, it literally means watching with an outstretched head, with the attention concentrated on one object and turned away from all others. Now, Robin and I, well, mainly Robin has a cat. The cat's name's Lily. I've learned to love Lily because Robin loves Lily. That cat, if you pull up in my driveway, our Ring doorbell goes off, it will hide. You will never see it. Cat only likes two people, Robin and me. But we can have the front door open and there'd be some birds or something going on. The neighbor's cat comes over and visits out the front. And you can watch that cat. It'll be sitting like that and all of a sudden, it's got its head extended, its neck extended. Her whole body is like watching every move that's taking place outside there. When Paul said what he said with earnest expectation, in everything in the prison that he's going to, he's got his eyes focused upon Jesus Christ. And no matter how the pain is, no matter what the people are saying about him, everything is focused upon Christ so that he would not bring any shame to himself or any shame to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message that he preached. He says, how do I get through this? Earnestly, with expectation, I focus upon Jesus that I will have the boldness to speak in the time that I need it. He's focused on Christ. We have that old hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Paul understood what it literally meant. He says, no matter what happens in this place, I'm going to magnify Jesus Christ. I'm going to keep my eye upon him because he's going to help my attitude be right. He's going to help what I say be right. He's going to give me the boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus. He's going to be with me. I'm staying focused upon him. Now, let's put that into relative terms to you and me. No matter what we're going through, sir or ma'am, have you failed at it? Yes. Has Billy failed at it? Yes. But what he's saying, I realize my situation is not good, but I'm focused upon Christ. And I am not. I'm going to make sure that in this body, not just physically, but mentally, and the words that come out of my mouth, they are going to magnify Christ Jesus in my circumstance, in my situation. Come on, folks. I know that we've all failed at it. I'm not preaching as a man that says, hey, I've been perfect. I've had moments in my life that, oh, Holy Spirit says, what were you thinking? I know I'm the only one. Paul says, I am fix my eyes upon the Lord. I know my situation isn't bad, but people are still going to see Jesus in me. I mean, you can't do that looking at your circumstance. Because when you look at your circumstance, guess whose voice is in those circumstances? The enemy. And he'll start trying to discourage you. He'll start trying to bring doubt into your life. Paul knew how easy it is. And listen, sometimes we read about these Bible characters and we think they were fictitious. No, they're real people. Paul was in a body like you and I. He had the same attitude. I mean, he had the same feelings he had to fight with. Christ had to fight with those feelings. Christ kept his eyes upon the Father and his will. And it's the same thing you and I. I know I'm preaching something that seems to be impossible, but let me tell you, Christ did it and Paul did it. Gives me hope. Oliver can do it. Or we all can do it because we have hope. If we focus upon that, that's all Paul was saying. You know, I remember a long time ago, and it was a long, long time ago, because I can say that because I'm getting older. Baseball was one of my favorite sports, still is. I wished I could play baseball. I signed up for a seniors league of softball a couple of years back, two or three, and paid the money, and I start feeling my knees, and I think, do I really want to do this? Called them up, say, hey, can I get my money back? They're supposed to refund it, but they never did. But I didn't think I could make it from home to first place. I already knew I was going to hit the ball. But back in those days, man, I would go up. I loved it. I had to learn something, though, when you go to hit, because I enjoyed hitting the ball. And back then, they didn't move the stands so that the parents couldn't mouth off. The stands were right behind home plate. So you had everybody watching you. And so I had to learn something to go up to that plate, tune everybody out, and keep my eye focused, not on the pitcher, but focused on the ball. And I knew that catcher, when we grew up, I don't know how they do it now, but everybody in the outfield, infield was going, hey, batter, 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 hey, batter, batter, batter. Do they still do that? Probably not. But I know the catcher because I used to be a catcher. You come up to bat while I'm catching, I'm going to talk about your mama. I'm going to talk about your sister. I'm going to say all kinds of things to you to make you get your focus off the ball. So I learned you had to tune all that out. If I could learn to do that in my golf game, I could be a golfer. But you got all these people, hey, swing it like this, swing it like that. And I'm thinking, it's my money, be quiet. Paul was saying, I'm focused. I don't care what else is going on. I'm focusing my life on Christ, and I'm going to make sure I magnify Him with all that I do. Can I tell you, that's hitting home run. That's hitting home run. Paul said that in this passage. He says, I don't care what I'm going through. I'm focused on Christ. I'm going to magnify Him with who I am. He had made his mind up to focus and magnify Christ with his body, whether in life or death. Third part, obtain insight that integrates a heavenly perspective. Verses 21 through 26 is a powerful verse. They're a powerful passage. You know, in Colossians, Paul said this. Chapter 3, verse 1, 2 is another favorite part of the word that I love. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things which are above, not on things which are below, or things on earth. It says, set your mind on things which are above, not on earth. You know, we often think of things of above, such as heaven. We think of streets of gold, throne of God, peace, mansions, and etc. When we think about heaven, we often have this beautiful picture of heaven. That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. Beulah Lamb, one of my favorite songs that some of you probably never have heard, but it speaks of the beauty of heaven. It's all right to think of those things. But my friend, we can't just contain our thoughts on those things. There's many more things from things of above that we need to think about. See, the fact is this. The things above are actually active also here on earth. The things up there are actually still active. You know why I'm not all concerned about our government? I mean, I get it. Government makes my life easier in some things, but God is still in charge. I mean, some of those things from above are still active here. What? Faith is active here. Amen. God's word is here. It's from above, but it's here for us. God's plan, God does have a plan. My friend, He's got a plan for your life. God's plan is still going. It doesn't matter what man thinks. God still has a plan. It's still active here. Up there, active here where we're at. God's mission has not changed. You know what His mission is to the church? Go make disciples. Until we get a text message from heaven, that is still what we're supposed to do. God's church. Did you know the church isn't from earth? It's from there. It's from above. That ought to give us a new perspective of the church. We are endued with power from above. We are His church. We are His body. Who? He that is at the right hand side of the Father. All this is happening where? From that which is above is affected on this below. God is doing amazing things. If you've been born again, you're part of that which is from above. Did you know, literally, your citizenship is not the USA. Your citizenship is in heaven. I love Hebrews 11 because it explains it so well. Our citizen is there. Where? Above. It should focus on the fact I don't belong here. My citizenship's not here, but my citizenship is up there. Heaven, my family. See, Paul understands this. So this is why he says this. To live or die is for Christ. To live or die is for Christ. Why? Because he is focused on the things which are above, which he's part of those things. And so to live or die, whether he's living or whether he dies, it's all about Jesus Christ. Come on, I'm not against great car or nice cars, big houses, or whatever it is, but when they become your God, then you have put your focus on the things on earth instead of the things above. Those things. He says, focus on those. Galatians 2:20, he says this, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live is in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. Paul's saying, as long as I'm on this earth, Christ is going to live through me. My life is about Christ. Come on, I know there's a lot of churches that are filled plumb up this morning with self-help messages. Come on, I believe in being discipled. Someone says, what's your discipleship program at San Jacinto? I'll tell you, Sunday school class is discipleship. Royal Rangers is discipleship. Impact Girls is discipleship. Youth, all this is discipleship. But here's the thing. It's time that the church awakes to the fact we are here for Him and His purpose. We are to live for Christ and His purpose in our lives. Could you imagine how our country would change if the church woke up to the fact it's not about what I can get from Christ, but it's about what I can do for Christ? How would that affect the church today in America? See, Paul literally lived his life to bring Christ glory. Paul lived to please the Lord, whether it be in death or life. If I die, let it be for Jesus Christ. Paul was determined to be faithful if he lived. Romans, we're told this, and this is just a paraphrase. Don't get upset. Living Bible, paraphrased. And it says, and so, dear brothers, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living sacrifice, holy and kind. Holy, the kind he can accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is it too much to ask? Don't copy the behaviors and the custom of this world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think. Then you will learn from your own experience how he always will, and how his ways will really satisfy you. That's just a paraphrase of what the scripture might say. So I want to encourage you. That's what we're supposed to do, is give ourselves as a living sacrifice. Paul also knew that death would just bring him closer to Christ. Philippians 1:23 says this, for I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He knew that death would just bring him closer. He was torn between the two, not out of escape attitude. Come on, how many of you thought, oh, Jesus, just come, get us out of this place? That's not what Paul's attitude is. He knew that if he died, he would be closer to Christ. I've heard people say, well, I'm going to look up this, the person, the first one I want to see in heaven is Jesus Christ. Amen? So Paul says, hey, this. The word depart, listen, it means either used as a ship that was to loose from its anchor or tie-ups, or a camp to break up camp. This is more what is illustrated in the passage. Paul says, I have torn between to stay or to depart. Talking about breaking up camp. Now, if some of you ever went camping, you'll understand what he's saying. You know, he's literally saying, I'm torn between picking up my camp and moving it and leaving. We went to Oregon. How many of you have ever been to Oregon? Did you drive or fly? We don't fly. So we drove to Oregon when I was a kid. We had a 65 Plymouth four-door, had a hitch on the back of it. The car was red and white or silver. We had a pickup-made trailer on the back. We had Coleman stoves in the back of that trailer. We had Coleman ice chests, the red ones, and then we had Shasta soda because Dad was too cheap to buy anything else. And we had an old canvas tent, and we would set that canvas tent up. We camped. It wasn't necessary camp places. We just pitched the tent. And every morning when we got ready to move, we would pull up the stakes, fold up the tent, and move into a new location. That's literally what Paul seen death to be, was nothing more than picking up the stakes and moving into another place. And he says, I'm torn between the two. Do I stay here and camp some more, or do I go? He was torn between those two. My friend, I know we are sad when people die, but if they die in Christ Jesus, they're just living in another location. Amen? Just in a different location. They wouldn't want to go back and pitch those tents again. So he said, which would be far better for him. But listen to this, to live for Christ, to minister to somebody through us. Here's another purpose Paul said, I want to stay. He says, in those verses that we read, he says, I want to be here to minister to you. What Christ to minister through him to that person. When we think about what we're doing, we are here to minister to others as Christ moves through us. To be the hands and the feet of Jesus. I know we say this stuff, but do we really, really mean it? Are we really seeing? Maybe you have a loved one that needs to know Jesus, or maybe you need a loved one that needs to have the compassion of Jesus into their life. Paul says, it's better for me to stay. I really want to, because somebody this morning needs you. Somebody needs you. You may not know it. It may be somebody at Walmart tomorrow. Somebody needs you to minister Jesus to them. That's our purpose. That's why. And Paul says, if I don't go to heaven, if I remain, I realize it's for a purpose because somebody needs me. He says, I realize that you, Church of Philippi, I realize that you need me because I am going to be part of your progress. What's that mean? I'm going to help you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to help you grow. You have somebody you're helping to grow? Mom, Dad, are you helping your children grow in the Lord? It's your purpose. Are we helping somebody grow? And he says, I want to see the joy of the faith. I love it. I got a picture of the Chung's kids right here on my video. All of them down at the altar at kids camp or church camp. Teenagers, and they're all three, their arms around each other, and they're all just sitting there praying and just worshiping the Lord. That's Ryan, Elizabeth, and Abigail, all three of them together. And I'm just glad I got to see it because I get to rejoice in their faith. Rejoice in what God's doing. How many of you are waiting to see somebody rejoice in their faith and to get where they need to be with God? And get on fire for the Lord. That's what Paul says. Hey, I don't want to leave because I want to be a part of your progress. And I also want to rejoice in the fact that you have gave faith and you're living for God. Pastor Olive, you can come. See, I told you it wasn't going to be 12:45. Some of you are thinking, well, you went long enough. But I want to tell you something this morning. As I close here, you know, I want to ask you this morning, how are you handling the situation you're in? How are you handling that difficult moment that you're in? That's what I preached about this morning because Paul definitely was locked into a difficult situation. How are you handling it? See, Paul didn't know whether he's going to live or die, but regardless, either way, he's going to give God the glory. And so I ask you this morning, how are you handling the situation you're in? Say, Pastor, you don't understand my situation, but can I tell you this morning, God does. God knows exactly where you're at. He feels your hurt, maybe from losing a loved one. It may be something that's going on financially in your life, whatever it may be. I'm not going to try to throw out a bunch of BBs out here and try to hit everybody. But I'm saying today, whatever that situation may be, maybe you're struggling just with thinking God's not hearing you. Can I say this morning, how are you handling this? Are you looking for the help that Paul had? Are you looking to realize that maybe we've learned something this morning to stay true to the cause no matter what you're going through? Stay true to the cause that put passion in your heart many years ago. It's still the same cause today. Maybe you need prayers from others to move into your life. Or maybe you just need the Holy Spirit to come down and give you the strength that you need. Maybe you need to take your head and turn it off of your self-pity. Turn it back on to the Lord Jesus Christ. Extend your head out and say, I'm focused on Him and I will not bring shame to Him. Maybe it's something like that. And maybe we need to be reminded, because sometimes I need to be reminded in my own life of what Christ did in me many years ago and how that freshness was in me. Maybe I need to be reminded once again of what God's done in my life. That I have a heavenly perspective. Can I tell you something? My age is weird. I'm not talking about y'all, but it's just a weird age to be in. I know some of you are relating with me. Some of you young people think, I'll never get there. Yeah, you will if you live. You don't know whether you're trying to slow down or whether you're trying to speed up. But let me tell you something, what Paul would say, if he was my age today, he would say, I am focused. I'm inspired by the things. I have obtained a perspective that came down from heaven, that whether I live or die, I'm going to give Christ all I have until Jesus takes me home. Maybe we need to be refocused, and maybe we need to start understanding that life is about Jesus. Not me. Not the things that I have. Because the insight I have is whether I live, I need to give God the glory of my life. Or whether I die, I need God to have the glory. So I don't know where you're at in your situation, but I want to encourage you this morning. Put Jesus right back in the middle of your situation. Let God help you. Let God help you. Because He's willing to. Not any of us sitting where Paul was, but Paul showed us in this passage of Scripture how to handle it. Every head bowed just for a minute. If you're here this morning, say, Pastor, you spoke to me this morning. I need to apply some of this into my life. Would you just raise your hand? I'm just going through. Amen. Anybody else this morning that would say that? Amen. Amen. Anybody else this morning? I want to encourage you that raise your hand this morning. Let God get some of these things going in your life once again. The enemy sidetracks you. Our life is about the Lord. And let His strength be in your life this morning to give you the strength to be an overcomer. We know that all things work out together for good for those that are called according to His purpose. I want to encourage you this morning. Trust Him. Get your eyes off the situation. Get your eyes back on the Lord this morning. And watch what happens into that situation today. That raised the hand, I want to just encourage you this morning to have a conversation with God. But get your focus. I'm praying for you. I see who raised their hands. I'm going to pray for you right now. Lord, today, we just come to you this morning in this house. Lord, I pray for those that raised their hand this morning, God, according to what was preached today, God. Going through a difficult situation, God. And I pray for each one of them, God. You know the situation, God, and you know exactly how it's got close into their hearts, God. I pray today, God, that you would just help them to be refocused upon you. And God, oh Lord, give you the glory in it, God. Help them, God, to give you the glory and the honor in it, God. Help them to have that expectation, God, and that earnest expectation of bringing glory to you in the situation, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would set them free of it, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for it.